Michael McDonlan tells a story of a man from West Texas who lived during the Great Depression. He wrote this. He said, "Mr. Ira Yates was like any other of the ranchers and farmers. He had a lot of land and a lot of debt. Mr. Yates wasn't able to make enough on his ranching operation to pay the principal and interest on the mortgage. So he was in danger of losing his ranch. With little money for food or clothes, his family, like many others, had to live on a government subsidy. Day after day, as he grazed his sheep over those rolling West Texas hills, he no doubt greatly troubled about how he would pay his bills. Then, a seismographic crew from an oil company came into the area and told him there might be oil on his land. They asked permission to drill a wildcat well. He signed a lease contract, and 1,000 feet down, they struck a huge oil reserve. The first well came in at 80,000 barrels a day. Many subsequent wells were more than twice as large. In fact, 30 years after the discovery, a government test of one of the wells showed it still had the potential flow of 125,000 barrels of oil a day." But does anybody know, like, the current price of oil on a barrel of oil? I don't know. That's a lot of money. Mr. Yates owned it all. The day he purchased the land, he received the oil and mineral rights. Yet, he had been living on relief. A multimillionaire living in poverty. The problem, he didn't know the oil was there, even though he owned it. It's kind of an interesting story, and I think it sets up our series well. We're starting a new series tonight, and I'm calling it Forgotten Treasures. Forgotten Treasures. Here's the premise for the series. I think this will probably last maybe 9 or 10 weeks, give or take. A couple of verses. Number one, 2 Corinthians 8:9 says this, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." You know that, Christian, you are rich. In what sense are you as a Christian rich? Of course, some people take this kind of the wrong direction. They say, well, you become rich in the sense of cash. What does this mean? In what sense has God blessed us with riches? Second key verse for our series is Ephesians 1:3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." If you are a Christian, you are rich. You have the riches of valuable spiritual blessings. And these are given to you freely by God the Father. He just blesses you with these things. Here's the thing. A lot of Christians live their lives like Mr. Yates. He owns millions of dollars worth of oil, and yet he spends his time worrying and living in poverty. I think Christians, as Christians, sometimes we have incredible spiritual blessings, riches in Christ, but we either don't know about them, or we've forgotten about them, or we think, well, whatever spiritual blessings are, they don't really have all that much real life value in my day-to-day life. And that's a shame, because nothing could be further from the truth. I think that sometimes as Christians we forget how good it is to be a Christian. Sometimes we forget just how much it is that God offers us. There's so much a Christian has access to that a non-Christian simply does not have. As Christians, we are rich. As Christians, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. As Christians, we have a high priest who pleads for us. As Christians, we have a roadmap for marriage and life and parenting and work. As Christians, we can communicate with the living God. As Christians, we can live our lives with a clear conscience. An unbeliever cannot live their life with a clear conscience. As Christians, we have a God who provides for our needs. As Christians, we know how the story ends. As Christians, we have a God who creates peace in our hearts in the midst of chaos. It is good to be a Christian. Someone who is not a Christian, someone who is not in Christ, does not have these riches, these blessings. I think sometimes we forget about this. So here's the whole kind of goal of this series. The goal of this series is to underline, highlight, bring to life the blessings that God gives us as we are Christians. So here's my hope. My hope is that if you're a Christian and you're discouraged as you walk through life, if you're facing discouragement, I'm hoping that you will find hope in remembering the treasures that God has for us as Christians. My hope is that if you're here and maybe you're having a crisis and you're wondering, is it worth it? Like, is it worth it to be a Christian? You miss out on a lot of enjoyable stuff. My hope is that you will see how incredible it is to be united with Christ. So tonight, our first forgotten treasure is this. It's strength. Strength. Here's an amazing truth. God is a God who gives strength. He just shares it. He shares it with his people. Actually, he gives strength to some. The text says that he takes strength away from others. God gives strength. He takes it away from others. But listen, God gives strength to his people. Psalm 29:11 says this, "The Lord will give strength to his people." The Lord will give strength to his people. Psalm 68:35, "The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to the people." Now, think about it. Is there really value in being a Christian? You had better believe it. Because here's the thing. You need strength. I hate to break it to you, but you are not the source of the strength that you need. In case you didn't know, to be a human is to be weak. And here's what I mean by that. Weakness in this sense. There are things that you just cannot control. Like, every single day, today, you face things you could not control. Every day of your life, you face these things. You can't control whether or not you get something like cancer. You can't control how other people treat you. You can't control how other people act or what they like or whether they like you or not. Farmer can't control the weather. An investor can't control the stock market. You can't control whether or not tragedy comes into your life. That you're just walking through life and you can't control this stuff. You face physical weakness. At some point, your physical strength runs out. Now, humans can do amazing things. You guys see the story about the guy that ran this marathon in, what was it, 2 hours? It was crazy. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I saw a video of the pace of him running. A guy was doing what pace you have to do to run a marathon in 2 hours. And he was running on a treadmill, and he was like, it was insane. He was just sprinting. Humans can do amazing things, but listen, your strength runs out. Your physical strength is limited. You need strength because you need mental or emotional strength. You face weariness as you go through life. Is anyone here weary? There can be times when you just want a break from your life. You gotta keep enduring, but you're sick and tired of enduring. You're weary. And here's the thing, we don't like to admit it, but there are things that we can't control, whether it's our enemies or it's things we face or physical weakness or emotional weakness. You have to have strength to make it through life, and you're just not the source of that strength. So here's what's amazing. Here's what's incredible. As a Christian, you are rich because you have a God who gives you actual strength. Here's what I'm going to do. I want to do something that I hope blows you away. I'm about to pick up a fire hose and inundate you with verses from the Bible about God giving strength to his people. And I hope, like, you kind of hear all these verses and you're like, wow, I had no idea this was such a big deal in Scripture. Here we go. "The Lord is my strength and song." Exodus 15:2. "I love you, O Lord, my strength." Psalm 18:1. "For you have girded me with strength for battle." Psalm 18:39. "The Lord is my strength and my shield." Psalm 28:7. "You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength." Psalm 31:4. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. Psalm 37:39. For you are the God of my strength. Psalm 43:2. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart. Psalm 73:26. Turn to me and be gracious to me. O grant your strength to your servant. Psalm 86:16. You make me bold with strength in my soul. Psalm 138:3. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might he increases power. Isaiah 40:29. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. I'm getting there. The Lord is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds feet, and he makes me walk on my high places. Habakkuk 3:19. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Ephesians 6:10. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:11. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. 1 Peter 5:10. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. 1 Timothy 4:17. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. 1 Timothy 1:12. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I could have listed more. You start to get the sense of this biblical idea. You have to have strength, and you're not the source. Listen to, just from that list that I read to you, here are different people who were writing those things about God being the source of their strength. Moses, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Peter, Habakkuk, Paul. Now listen, if I'm like picking an all-star team of Bible figures, that's my team. Like Moses, David, Peter, Paul, these are the guys that God uses. And what are they all saying in unison? They're saying, God is the source of my strength. Here's what I want to do with our time tonight. I want to talk about six ways that God gives strength to his people. Six ways that God gives strength to his people. Number one, first is this: God uses his strength on our behalf. God uses his strength on our behalf. I found this image that I thought was kind of funny. It's this cartoon of Isaiah 41:10. You see this little guy holding this massive weight, and then you see God's hand just holding it up, and it says, "Fear not, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Here's my point on this first point. God uses his strength on our behalf. One of the ways that God gives us strength is by acting for us. In other words, he controls the things that you and I cannot control. He does this on our behalf. I think that's kind of what they're saying when you heard all those verses that said, "The Lord is my strength." Sometimes what the writer is saying is that God uses his strength on my behalf to control things that I can't control. You might get the sense from this verse, Psalm 37:39. But the Lord is the salvation of the, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. I think it kind of illustrates God is acting, he's saving his people. That is their strength. Or Psalm 31:4. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. This sense of what does it mean for God to be our strength, I think it's saying that God is doing things for us. He's pulling me out of the net. He is saving us from things. And so God is controlling things that we cannot control ourselves. That's one of the things that it means that God uses his strength on our behalf. Second way that God gives strength. God gives strength to weary people. God gives strength to weary people. We read this verse, but let's read a little bit more of the context from Isaiah. Do you not know? Have you not heard? I love that. The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. Watch how this starts with. It starts with God's strength. God does not become weary or tired, but we do. We do become weary. Is anyone here weary? Maybe that's not you right now, but like, who hasn't walked through seasons of life where you were just weary? There's physical weariness, like, say, the first few months after having a baby, for example. That may be an example of someone. But look, people who go through physical pain, like, I know people, I'm related to people who wake up every day and they have chronic pain. That is weary. Like, you live with that every day, or you're related to someone who has that just day in, day out. That gets weary. That gets tiring. There are other kinds of weariness, though. I might put it relational weariness. Maybe you have a close relationship, either family or work or neighbor, whatever, that relationship just, it wears you down. Week after week, you face the interaction with this person, and it wears you down. There are other people who walk through seasons of just trouble, times of trouble, and it kind of starts to feel like the book of Job around here, and you're going, I just need out of this. Listen, the Christian who walks in a discouraging path has hope. A Christian who walks a discouraging path has hope that someone who's not a Christian does not have. Paul talks about the unbeliever. He says that he reminds people who are saved what they used to be like. He says, you used to be without God and without hope in the world. But someone who is a Christian has hope because God happens to give strength to weary Christians. Listen to Psalm 73:26. Talks about not just an emotional or a soul weakness, but physical and emotional weakness. Both of these things. My flesh, that's my body, my physical strength, and my heart may fail. Now, that's about everything, right? My body and soul, both of those may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I love that. Both of these things. But physical strength, emotional strength, that's what God does for us. Now listen, this is not an imaginary strength. This is not a close your eyes and tap your heels and just wish upon a star kind of strength. This is real. God gives energy to muscles. God gives strength to your soul. Listen to this from Psalm 138:3. It says, you made me bold with strength in my soul. I love this soul level strength. Like when your soul is weary, I don't know if you've been there, but when your soul is weary, God gives soul level strength. I think that's amazing. Someone who's not a Christian doesn't have that. But God gives it to us. Third way in which God gives strength. God gives you strength. God gives us strength when we face persecution. I got a bunch of scriptures from Paul in the next couple of points. Paul talks a lot about strength. First, we see really an interesting scene with Paul. Paul writes this to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:16-17. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth." Paul stood trial more than once. The commentator I was reading about this says there's some debate about which time Paul's on trial for the defense of the gospel. But Paul's got to make these defenses. He's got to defend his ministry in the gospel. Now, one of these trials, none of his friends stand by him. He says, "All deserted me." That's a tough thing as a human when your friends desert you at your moment of need. Everyone deserts him. Well, not everyone. Someone stood by him, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Strength for what? What was Paul strengthened to do? Was he strengthened to make as much money as he possibly could in life? No. He was strengthened so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, that all the Gentiles might hear. Paul was strengthened to proclaim the gospel in the face of persecution. You know, we watched that video this morning of the persecuted church. Boy, I was moved by that. I don't know if you guys saw that this morning, but man, it throughout the date of 2016, I remember what I was doing in 2016. It wasn't that long ago. And here's someone dying for their faith. Do you ever wonder, I watch something like that and go, what would I do? Like, what would I do if that was me? Would I have enough strength? But listen, we don't have to live our lives fretting about this, because that's really not the issue. Am I strong enough? That's not the issue, because you're not the source of the strength you need in that situation anyways. God gives you the strength when you need it. You've probably heard this illustration of a story by Corrie ten Boom. Maybe I've even shared it before. I don't know. Corrie was a woman who hid Jews in World War II. And as a little girl, she's having a conversation with her dad. She experiences a death of a friend, and she's very scared. So she's talking to her dad about fear. Father sat down on the edge of the narrow bed. "Corrie," he began gently, "when you and I go to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket?" I sniffed a few times, considering this. "Why, just before we get on the train." "Exactly, and our wise Father in heaven knows when we are going to need things too. Don't run ahead of him, Corrie. When the time comes that some of us will have to die, you will look into your heart and find the strength you need just in time." Corrie came from a godly family. Her father's not saying, "Look, you're just strong enough." He's saying, God gives us strength when we need it. And you probably know the story. Corrie finds that strength in the most unlikely of places, in a Nazi prison camp. This illustrates, though, a really critical point. You and I are going to face big things in life that we're just not strong enough for. And that can be a cause for fear, but it doesn't have to be. Because as a Christian, you have a God who gives you strength when you need it. Maybe even you're going to face things, you may face things like persecution. That may come more seriously for Christians in the next decades. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live your life in fear, because God gives you the strength that you need when you need it. Paul's testimonies, he's on trial and people are just deserting him left and right. But I love the way he phrases this. "Nobody stood with me, but the Lord stood with me." It shows God's supporting him, giving him strength, because that's what God does. Number four, God gives us strength for service. God gives us strength so that we can serve him. Listen to this passage from 1 Timothy 4:11. "Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." Anytime I read something from 1 or 2 Peter, I try to stop and remember who's writing this. Remember Peter, the fisherman, turned disciple, turned apostle, maybe the key leader in the early church. But beyond that, this man he's the one who denies Christ not once, not twice, but three times. There he is, denying Christ. He sees Jesus after the resurrection. You remember the scene. Jesus says, "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." Do you love me? And that third time, the text says, and Peter was grieved. Do you think Peter regretted what he had done? How does a guy like this, how does he turn around his life or a life of service? Let me tell you, it's not by pulling himself up by his own bootstraps. His life was turned around. He serves Christ. And in fact, church history says that he serves Christ to the point of death, even crucifixion. How did Peter find strength to serve God after denying him? How did Peter find strength to serve Christ to the point of death? Well, listen, he didn't have the strength. God gave him the strength. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. I've always heard it like this. God provides what he demands. It applies to a lot of different things. God demands that we serve him. But he also gives us the strength that we need to serve him. Notice this. Why does God give strength for people to serve him? So that in all things, God might be glorified through Jesus Christ. See, here's the thing. God gives strength to weak people all the time. And why does he do that? Well, because when weak people accomplish things for God, they don't get the credit. God gets the credit and the glory. God gives us strength so that we can serve him. And listen, as you walk through life, you may grow weary of serving the Lord. That surely happens. But I think what Peter is saying is there is a well, there is a source of strength for you as a Christian. Fifth, God gives us strength when we encounter evil people or enemies of the cross. Paul encountered his fair share of evil, perverse people. A lot of people just wanted him dead. Listen to what he wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord will spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we will be rescued from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." I think it's interesting how the focus changes. Paul starts by asking for prayer for himself because he needs rescuing from evil people. But he also knows he's not the only one facing evil people. He asks for prayer for himself, but then he offers confidence in verse 3 that God is faithful and he gives strength to those who are facing evil people. I love this idea that God is faithful to give us strength. Like, we don't have to wake up and wonder, like, boy, is God really going to come through today? He's faithful. Last, God gives strength for when we are in need or when we're in plenty. Once again, from Paul, we hear about strength. Famous passage, Philippians 4. "I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering, and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Paul's a guy that had seen a lot. He had seen it all. He knew how to get along in abundance. He knew how to get along in need. And he's saying, look, whatever God gives me, either one, God gives me strength to live through both. Today I started to thinking, what if I was really suffering need? What if I was really hungry? Like, can you imagine yourself or your family act like you just don't have enough food to go around and you're looking at this going, like, this is hard. How do you have strength for that? Like, if things got that bad where you just flat out don't have enough food, where are you going to get strength? But you can do it. You can have strength for prosperity or for need because God shares his strength with his people. Okay, kind of wrap up here for the night. Here's the thing. This series is called Forgotten Treasures, and I don't know. I just find that in my life, God is giving us things, spiritual blessings, things like strength. Sometimes I don't look for it. I look to my own devices. I look to my own abilities to walk through life. But God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He became poor so that we might become rich. And, you know, one of the tip-offs to me that I'm not going to the Lord for strength is that I end up worrying a lot. I'm pretty good at worrying. I don't know if there's like a competition, but I might be the best guy here in the room at worry. That is a tip off to me. That's a sign that I'm not going to the Lord for strength. God gives us strength. This is good news. Strength to endure when you're physically exhausted, when you're weary from an emotional exhaustion or weariness. God gives us strength to face anything, poverty, riches, whatever. God calls us to serve Him. And you know what? He gives us the strength to serve Him. He gives us strength even if we face persecution. And He uses His strength on our behalf. And this is an incredible thing. My hope here in this series is to help us remember how beautiful, how incredible it is to be a Christian. This is not just a season of life that you have to endure until you get to heaven. It's a beautiful, rich thing to be a child of God. Let's pray. God, I pray that you would help us to see how good it is to be saved, how good it is to be a Christian. Yes, there is opposition. Yes, there is at times sorrow. And yet, Lord, you give us strength. So, Lord, help us to look to you for strength and not to ourselves. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.